Welcome to the Ideas Lab Predictor podcast from the University of Birmingham. In each edition, we hear from an expert in a different field who gives us insider information on key trends, upcoming events, and what they think the near future holds.
Hello, today I'm with Professor Wendy Skase, who is Geoffrey Shepherd Professor of Medieval English Literature at the University of Birmingham. Welcome, Wendy.
Hello.
So tell us a bit about what you do.
I specialise in medieval English literature, but I'm particularly interested in the manuscripts in which the literature is written. I'm interested in the books from the period, the handwritten books that survive with the literature in it and other materials, images and decoration and so forth.
So this would be from the Anglo-Saxon period up to...
Well, manuscripts carried on being made actually up until the 16th century and beyond. And my own area really goes up to the later 15th century, so looking at just before the Reformation in England. And one of the things I've been working on recently is ways that we can make these books more easily available to a wider audience, because they're all individual, a lot of them are extremely special, some of them are absolutely exquisite to look at, but of course they were only made for a very small audience in their day. Only very rich, elite people would have had manuscripts of their own, and very few people would have seen manuscripts at all. And actually, the situation hasn't changed much today. There are thousands of manuscripts in the world, and they tend to be either in private collections or in scholarly libraries. And people mostly don't have the opportunity to see a fraction of what survives from the period. So one of the things that interests me is how we can make this material more easily available to a wider audience.
I know you've been working on a manuscript called the Vernon Manuscript, so I'd like to hear a bit more about that.
Well, the Vernon manuscript is absolutely extraordinary. For one thing, it weighs 22 kilos.
It's the biggest surviving manuscript in medieval English, is that right?
Absolutely. That's the English from the time of Chaucer, actually, in this case. In fact, in its original state, before it lost some pages, it would have been even heavier. It's 2.5 times the length of Tolstoy's War and Peace. So it's absolutely extraordinary. One of the puzzles about the book is actually how it was used, but we're pretty sure that it must have been read in a standing position, it must have been placed on a lectern, and they probably would have read it aloud to an audience. It has a huge variety of different texts in it. They are mainly religious, pious, devotional texts, but within them, there's some surprisingly entertaining narratives.
So the digitisation of this is a revolution, isn't it? Basically, it's going to completely change the availability and the way we can study these types of manuscripts.
Absolutely. Taking the Vernon manuscripts as a really good example, ever since it went to the Bodleian Library about 1677, it's of course been available to scholars, but very few people have had the opportunity to interact with it. It was published in a monochrome printed edition in the late 80s, but of course in monochrome you can't see the beautiful illustrations and enjoy the decoration. And what the digital edition that I'm making will do is enable you, for example, to look very closely at even the brush strokes made by the painters, changes of mind by the scribe, places where the scribe has put in corrections. So all sorts of very close detail that even a scholar would not actually be able to see unless they spent perhaps several years with the manuscript in a room in the Bodleian Library.
So it's going to, this digital edition is going to be on a DVD?
It's going to be on a DVD, and it's going to be not only a full set of digital images of the manuscript, but it's going to include a full transcription of every word in the manuscript.
And it's completely searchable, so you can find different mentions and compare.
Absolutely. And a full description of every page. So this is actually quite a revolution, and certainly it will make the Vernon manuscript more readily available than ever before. But we're also hoping now to use these files that have been used to make the edition to make the manuscript even more widely available, starting with an online exhibition of the manuscript, which will be available to anybody who wants to go and look at it on the Bodleian Library Oxford website. and there will be a little exhibition and an account of how the manuscript was made and other manuscripts that are similar.
So where are the other, similar manuscripts, or where else is this happening? Are there other manuscripts that we're going to be able to get access to that we would never be able to have seen before?
Absolutely.
Thanks to the world of computers.
Absolutely. But there are manuscripts from Western Europe all over the world. For example, there are 300 manuscripts in Australia and New Zealand. There are collections of manuscripts in Japan. There's an extraordinary collection of Books of Hours and other fine religious manuscripts in the Getty Museum in Los Angeles. And today, digitization projects are just beginning to make this wealth of material available to a mass audience that can look at them over the web or on DVD.
It's so exciting, because when you kind of think about people working as medieval historians or medieval linguists, you think, well, actually not that much can change.
Yes.
From one year to the next. But it feels like this is the cusp of a kind of explosion.
Yes, it's absolutely.
Research.
It's absolutely the beginning. We don't know, you might be really surprised at this, but we don't know how many medieval manuscripts survive from Western Europe. But it's certainly in the order of tens of thousands. It's been estimated that fewer than half of 1% have been digitized as yet. This has happened very quickly over the last decade. We've seen the digitization in high resolution images of between perhaps 1 and 3 million pages of manuscript, but that's only half of 1% of everything that remains to be done. But this is happening very fast now. And so now scholars can collaborate, can share materials across the web. And just to give you an example of a project, the Making of the Medieval English Manuscript Project, based at the University of Toronto, is involving scholars from the United States, but also ourselves in Birmingham, other scholars around in the United Kingdom. So we're all able to collaborate because of the way that the technology is now being harnessed to link up resources, to enable us to annotate them, show each other our notes, and so forth.
So out with the white gloves, in with the smartphone or the dongle or whatever it is.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. It's even been proposed that we might have an iPhone app. Something could be developed so that, for example, if you were in a particular library and suddenly wanted to look at images of another manuscript that you thought might, say, be by the same scribe as that had written the manuscript you're looking at, you could quickly download the images and compare side by side. And it's that kind of thing that's actually going to transform our knowledge of medieval manuscripts, being able to do this comparative work and this large-scale work for the first time.
So digitization is kind of the present, this being the Predictor podcast. What's a bit further in the future, do you think?
Well, the big challenge confronting us is to develop machine reading of manuscript text. If we could get computers to be able to transcribe manuscript writing for us, then we would speed up our research massively. And once we can do machine reading of manuscripts, another benefit will be that we might be able to train the computer to recognize the characteristics of particular scribal hands to identify individual scribes at work. And just to give you an example of how that's going to transform things, a year or two back, a scholar identified one of the scribes of Chaucer's Canterbury Tales, Adam Pinkhurst. And that scholar identified Adam Pinkhurst as a result of years and years of trawling through thousands and thousands of documents in the National Archives and in the Guildhall Library and so on, and eventually came up with a document that was signed by the scribe. Mm-hmm. But if we could train computers to do that kind of work, we could really speed up the identification of scribes and learn so much more about the way that the making of books worked, who wrote them, and where.
Professor Wendy Scase, thank you very much.
Thank you.
This podcast and others in the series are available on the Ideas Lab website, www.ideaslabuk.com. On the website, you can find out how to email us with comments, questions, or suggestions for future topics for the podcast. There's also information on the free support Ideas Lab has to offer to TV and radio producers, new media producers, and journalists. The interviewer for the Ideas Lab Predictor podcast was Lucy Vernal, and the producer was Andy Tootell.